Thank you, praise team. How y'all is? Well, look at somebody and tell them God loves you and sit down. As a born-again child of God, you have a destiny. Amen. And many times, you don't achieve what God wants you to do because you're afraid to set your hand to the plow. As Sister Jerry was giving honor to Sister Michelle, I thought about a few hundred million years ago. I called Richard Michelle and said, "Can you meet me at Coco's? I want to talk to you for a little while." They hesitantly agreed. "What do you want to talk about?" Coco's doesn't even exist anymore. But we sat in a corner booth, and they had been a part of several other assemblies, a couple of others. And I said, "I want you to come to House of the Lord and become our ministers of music." Now, if you've ever walked down the hallway here behind this wall and seen House of the Lord through the years, you'll notice on there's a picture of Brother Richard. In those days, he was working part-time, posing as the Frito Bandito. If you look at the picture, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I said, "I want you to be our minister of music." And I said, "We've never done that. I don't know if we can." I said, "I know you can." And Sister Michelle looked at me with that, "What are you talking about?" But they agreed to set their hand to the plow. And they came in and they began to exercise the dominion. And if you were around in the early days, you've seen them grow from, "Can we sing this song now?" to, "Get on your feet and open your mouth." But they set their hand to the plow and they begin to exercise dominion in a field they had never walked in. Now there are a lot of churches that would like to have them. I didn't say that, just let that go by. Why? Because they have developed the gifts that were in them and drawn a group of praise and worship singers along with them into that. And you notice they don't have any problem sitting down at the keyboard now and looking you right in the eye and going, "We're going to sing some." It's a little different from when they first started. I walked in yesterday and the north vestibule, and Brother Roy was on a ladder, and there had been a light fixture that was out for some time. But Roy began to exercise dominion over it, and he put the skills that he had to work, and now there's light where there was darkness. Why? He set his hand to the plow. He did something. Now, that's not his destiny, but that's a part of it. Sometimes you have multiple opportunities to exercise your dominion. And if you don't know who you are in the anointed Redeemer, you won't exercise that dominion. Today, if you talk to Richard Michelle, they would without hesitation tell you, "We are ministers of music." But in the beginning, they were, "Oh, Pastor." Brother Arthur and James and I were standing out on the sidewalk because I needed to experience some warm I get a little cool. I've got to go outside and soak up some sunshine and get warm again. And we were looking at the flower beds that were out there. And they're colorful, they're beautiful. But it hasn't been that long ago that they were just dirt and weeds. But Sister Ruth said, I want to set my hand to the plow. And she did something different. She went out and bought seeds and prayed over them. And when she started to put those seeds in the potting soil, they grew faster than is the normal time. And now the beds are, because of her diligent labor, she didn't come once and do it. She has to come every week to tend to the gardening. But people pull up to God's house and they're greeted by beautiful color because someone exercised dominion over wasted dirt. Pastor, do you think that's her ministry? I think it's a piece of her ministry, but it's not her whole ministry. But once you begin to learn that I can do something, it may be leading in praise and worship, it may be just ministry. I've been in services where someone would stand up and start to sing. They didn't have the microphone. They weren't next to the keyboard. They were standing up in the congregation. But when they started to sing, everybody in the building knew God's in that song. Well, Pastor, what would happen if they never stood up? They would have never exercised their gift. But you got to know who you are to take dominion over your job. Every born-again child of God should take dominion over their secular enterprise. And like Ruth telling those seeds, you will grow and you will sprout fast and you will become flowering plants before your time. And they just obeyed. They don't know anything. They're just dumb seeds. Or you can just plant the seeds and flip a coin wondering if they're going to grow or not. Because I have ripped open a package of bluebonnet seeds and planted them and didn't get a single bluebonnet. But I didn't exercise my dominion over the seeds. I just took a shot. It's time for believers to quit taking a shot. I remember Brother Derek was working at a low wage in a secular realm. He came in, sat down, we began to talk. You're a people person. You got the gift of gab. Sales is the way to make money. Because when you're a salesman, nobody sets your paycheck but you. Derek went from a salesman to a business owner. He's still selling, but he's selling for his business, not somebody else's. Because he exercised dominion. One day, Kenneth Price came in and he used to talk to me and want me to be a life coach. And I said, homie, don't do that. I'll tell you what is right and wrong, but I don't life coach. And we began to talk. What do you enjoy doing? Because if you enjoy doing it, you can make money at it. If you don't enjoy doing it, that's slave labor. And you can never succeed as a slave. You can live. You can eke out a living, but you can't succeed. Every place I worked, I took dominion over it. And a short time, I was the highest paid employee they had, or I owned the company. You can do it, church. But you got to know who you are. You can drop me anywhere in the world. The deepest, darkest part of Africa, islands of the sea, South America. You can drop me wherever. And in a year or two, I'll have a good life, a good living, and I'll have accumulated. Why? Because God is not the God of America. He's the God of all creation. And when I talk to missionaries and travel and talk to native pastors, they're all, well, if we were in America, I've done meetings in foreign countries where I got 35 or 40 requests for money after every service. If I just had a canoe, I could go preach the gospel. If I just had a Land Rover, well, at least I had high expectations. You think I'm buying you a Land Rover so you can be a successful missionary? No, show me your successful mission, and then we'll talk about. Because when Jerry O'Dell said, I need a bus for the ministry in India, he was already living a successful life as a missionary there, holding giant crusades. I didn't think twice about saying, okay, you got a bus. I've met a few other people that wanted a bus, and I went, I can't give you a bus because you are a bust. You're still waiting for money to tell you that you can do something for God. Many people today in the church are waiting for money to tell them what they can do, how much they can give, whether or not they can take off work to come to church. You have a call from God on your life. Well, Pastor, what's my call? I don't know. We would probably have to sit and talk for a while so that I could find out where you're at. But that's not my calling to tell everybody. Once in a while, somebody sits down and God has a word for them. But if we sit down and God don't have a word, I'm going to tell you, go spend some time with the Father first. You're not ready for a word. Because many people I've told, this is what God has for your life. No, not me. And because they didn't pursue it, they didn't get there. But it didn't matter that Richard Michelle had never done ministry of music. It didn't matter that Derek had never done sales or Ken Price had never done financial advising. But now he makes a good living as a financial advisor. And Jennifer nearly killed me when I told him to quit his job and go into finance. Then after a while, when his income doubled and tripled, she came in and sat down, I want to start my own business. Why? She no dummy. If it worked for him, it'll work for me. And a lot of times people don't need my advice. They just need a push. You can do it. But there's something that when you see other people doing it, your heart reaches out. That's probably part of your destiny. Because deep calls to deep. And when you're around somebody that's doing what you should be doing, something inside you says, I can do that. I can do that. Because I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing that infuses me with divine ability. All I have to do is make the decision to pursue my destiny and quit pursuing a living. But Pastor, I have to work for a living. No, no, no. You have to work until you learn how to make your living work for you. Then it's a joy, and it's something you do that's fun. So do you want to work for a living, or do you want your living to work for you? All you have to do is partner together with what God has already gifted you in, what God has already put in you. There's a reason you resonate when you're around certain things. I've used the illustration many times, but I use it again. You're like a tuning fork. I can take a tuning fork that's set for C, and I can take another tuning fork that's set for C. I strike this one and hold it next to it, and they'll both begin to vibrate. Why? Deep calls to deep. So when you're around something and it resonates with you, stop and talk to Daddy. Because there's a reason you resonate when you're around that. And if you resonate when you're around that, you can take dominion in that field, in that realm, and become that. But Pastor, I need to go to school. Going to school for 90% of the American population is a waste of money. But I need my degree. That's funny. The wealthiest men and women in the world don't have a degree, because they were starting businesses while their friends were trying to get their degree. I was at a place once where there were a bunch of wealthy Texas businessmen, multimillionaires. And one of them asked one of the multimillionaires, "Where did you attend school?" And he said, "I didn't. I was busy starting a business so you schoolboys would have a place to go to work when you got out." The one with the degree was working for the one who didn't have a degree. But he asked, "Where did you attend school? What's your degree in?" Because he was going to compare himself with his boss. There is no school anywhere that can give you a piece of paper that makes you a success. It may open a door or two for you, but if you don't succeed and take dominion in that realm, you won't have that opportunity long, because they fire people with master's degrees just like they do with people with no degree. Because it's what you produce, not in where you were educated, that makes a difference. And if you can produce, my son did not pursue higher education. He went to work out of high school. And when he went to work for Apple, Apple is one of those employers that will let you succeed if you produce. So in a short period of time, he was earning this and occupying this position. And friends of his that went to college were working for Apple also. But my son had this coming in and no student loans to repay. They had this coming in and all those student loans to repay. He was making more money than they were without a degree. Why? He applied himself and took advantage of the suggestion box. We can improve the operation this way, and he got a promotion. We can improve the operation this way, and he got a promotion. If you go to work dreading being there, you will not exercise dominion. But there's not a job that you can't start. You can go to work as a trash collector and I'll end up owning the whole disposal company if you'll work at it. Every field only has a ceiling for those who believe there's a ceiling. Every born-again child is a winner. They just have to be taught the revelation of the new covenant to see themselves through God's eyes. God don't save junk. God don't save freaks. He saves people who are anointed from birth with destiny. My parents told me that from birth I was destined to be a minister of the gospel. I fought it because I thought I had to out-drink, out-smoke, out-fornicate, out-fight everybody around me to prove I wasn't bad because I was a preacher's kid. At 14, I bought a motorcycle, a leather jacket, a switchblade, and I said, ain't nobody ever gonna look down on me. Then I came back from Vietnam and met a missionary from Africa. He was an African who had been sent to America as a missionary. And he said, you got a call on your life. And I said, you treading on dangerous territory, dude. He said, I want you to come hear me speak. If you come hear me speak, you'll never be the same. And he stayed after me until I went to hear him speak. And I left that meeting a different person. I'd gone to the church just to pacify him and was going to slip out quick because I had a date with two waitresses from the Piccadilly. If you're old enough to remember the Piccadilly, you... I was dumb in those days. I'd date two or three girls the same night. And he's preaching away and he stops. I mean, I've already started itching towards the end of the pew so I could get out of there. And he says, I want everybody to stand up. Stopped his sermon. Everybody stand up. Now turn it around. Now kneel down. And we're going to pray. I went, doggone it, I was almost out of here. But I got off my knees another person because for years I'd ran from God and would not bow my knee. That night, because everybody else was doing it, I bowed my knee. But God had a purpose. And when I unbowed my knees, I was a new species of being. I mean, I went home and I threw away my stash of drugs and pills that I was selling, threw them all down a storm gutter, got rid of the booze. It took me about 30 days for God to deliver me from tobacco because I love to smoke. Some people had a habit. I had a taste. I could just touch my pocket and I could taste it. But God took it away just like that. And I walked out of church that night and I reached for my cigarette case. I carried a 14-karat gold cigarette case in those days because if I'm going to smoke, I'm going to be a flash doing it. So I had a gold lighter and a gold case. And when I touched my pocket, I didn't have a taste anymore because God had set me free. The minister had broken that spirit of nicotine. I tossed the cigarette case over my T-Bird. I got in the car and went home, and it hit me. You threw away a gold cigarette case. I went back looking for it. Some other person had already grabbed it. But I never touched another cigarette after that day. Cigars I was a little slower on because I only do one or two a week of those, so that ain't that bad. But then one day the Lord said, you don't need it. So I threw them away. When God reaches into your life, you become new. Well, Pastor, I've never had a minister tell me what God was saying, or I've never been in a service where God called me out. Do you have one of these? It'll tell you who you are. It'll tell you what you possess. It'll tell you what you can do. So I want to give you all of that as a preface before we even start the message. So that one's free. The next one is $20 COD. Give to the hurts and God will love you. If you've been a part of this church for a year or for 38 years, you've never seen a second offering or an offering received because we've got to pay the bills. You've never been cajoled or asked, everybody dig deep. No, give us your purpose in your heart, because I don't just want to receive your gift for the ministry. I want you to receive your blessing that's yours because you give knowing I've now opened the way for it to come back. Why did Ruth put the seed in the ground? Because she expected to get something from it. She didn't say, well, that's the last time I'll ever see that seed. Now I've only got this many seeds left. No, with joy, she put the seed in the ground because she already knew, I got a crop coming. Now that was a natural crop, but as a joyful giver, you've got a spiritual crop coming. Because money is the first determining factor of whether God can trust you. If you won't tithe, if you won't give, God can't trust you with his gifts and calling. Why? You're still under mammon's hold. If money tells you what you can do and not do, you're under mammon's authority. When you tell your money what it's going to do, and it don't have no choice but to do that, you become a joyful believer. Because I'm ruling and reigning with Christ, and now that I've ruled and reigned over money, I can rule and reign over true riches, the spiritual realm of God. One day, an uncreated person, he was unregenerate, he was lost. He's at a bar and he said, I'm a drunk. It's a lot like being an alcoholic, but I don't have to go to all those meetings. A lot of people are that way about their Christianity. I'm a Christian because I go to church. No, I go to church because I'm a Christian and want to assemble together with other believers and want to learn what God has for me. Many people who were saved just added going to church to their lifestyle. They did not consider the new nature of life and godly conduct as essential. I go to church. I give a few shekels in the offering when it comes by. I'm just waiting for the end. One of the things I hate so much about religion is its music. And the sweet by and by, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. When this life with its toils is over, everything was about someday. The victorious Christian is about today. Amen. And Brother Friday, today I'm a new species of being. Today I have authority. Today I rule and reign. Many of these people think being good is enough. I said the prayer, now I'm saved. These people fall short of victorious Christian life of a true believer. Being saved is a starting line. It's not the finish line. Being a new creation in the born-again life is the goal for which we are to strive. Do you want to be a new creation? Well, Pastor, I thought the Word of God said I already was. Just because you is doesn't mean you is. Because you can be positionally what you are never possessionally. Before Brother Richard Michelle came to House of the Lord, they were ministers of music. They just didn't know it yet. Pastor, how you know? Because if they wasn't already, they couldn't have become. Or they could have played the piano and they could have led in the sweet by and by. But they would have never entered into God's presence and opened God's presence for you to enter into. They aren't ministers of music because I called them. I called them because they were ministers of music and didn't know it. Are you listening, church? I can't make you a success. But if I listen to you for a while, you'll tell me where you could succeed. And I will bring that out, and you can pursue it. But you already were that because it was in you as a part of the new birth. One day I told Jerry, you've got the Midas touch. She hasn't fully walked in it yet, but I know it's in her. She has the Midas touch to make money. And once she finds where she blossoms, I expect Jerry to become very wealthy. Keep a good hold on her, Rob, because she's going to be a wealthy woman. You can spend her money just like she spends yours. Pastor, what do you mean? God said Jerry has the Midas touch. Now she can die and never become wealthy and successful. Or she can begin to tell herself, I have the Midas touch. What I set my hand to prospers. I've got a covenant promise that he strengthens my hand to gain wealth. Everything I set my hand to prospers. And then she begins to tell Daddy God, God, I'm open. Show me where to apply my gift and calling. Well, Pastor, what's my gift and calling? I don't know, but I know you have one. And you know you have one, whether you acknowledge it or not, because when you're around that arena, you resonate. You look at it differently. You feel differently about it. Sometimes you even say, what if? But there's not a born-again Christian who cannot succeed if they apply New Testament principles. Philippians 2:5, let, allow, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pastor Jim, what was that mind? God sent me to the earth to rule and reign over it. I rule and reign over the water, and it becomes wine. I rule over the storm, and it becomes peace. I rule over the demon-possessed, and they are liberated. I rule over the crippled and maimed, and they are made whole. It was in him, or it never could have came out of him. The beautiful part about finding where you resonate is you discover you. You can wake me up in the middle of the night, and I will answer you from the Word. I am the heel of the Lord, whether it looks like it or not. I began to exercise dominion about a week ago because I climbed on the scales and I weighed 155 pounds. Now, when this trial began, I weighed 265. And I was strong. I worked out every day with a 75-pound bar, and it didn't present any problem at all. But I had to humble myself, and I went in the closet and got my 10-pound dumbbells out. And I struggled to do one curl. I tried to do push-ups, but there was push, but no ups. A week later, I'm up to 6. I'm up to 5. Why? I push back against the tide, and I exercise dominion. I am not going to be a skinny freak. I mean, you know you're in trouble when you climb out of the shower, look in the mirror, and scare yourself. I had wrinkles where there weren't supposed to be wrinkles. God didn't intend me to be 155 pounds. God didn't intend me to be unable to curl a 10-pound weight. That's 10 pounds in each hand, so that's 20. Yes, I was at a garage sale, and I bought some weights. Why? I gave my others away. If I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to need more weight than 10. But I had to be willing to face, I can't do one before I can get to I'm doing 6. In a day or two, I'll be doing 7, 8, 10. Then I'll be back up to 15, and then I'll do 15 twice. Why? I can overcome what opposes me. But I had to remind myself that it was in me. I had to suffer the indignity of struggling with a 10-pound dumbbell. But I got them out and put them on my cabinet where I shave and shower so I would see it first thing every morning and last thing every night. So first thing every morning, last thing every night. And the more I do it, the better I'll become at it. Exercising dominion doesn't mean instant success. It just means an instant change of your belief structure. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I was talking with a lawyer once who had a big case before the Supreme Court dealing with West Texas oil fields. And he handed me his prep and said, read through this and see if you can find anything that falls short. So I read his thing and I said, I think you can do this. And they said, you think so? I said, yeah, it's like the little train. Said, I think it can until it did. He's presenting the case. And that came back to his mind. And he related the story of the little train that thought it could and finally did. No, this law has not been upheld before. But you can do it. And he won the case. Why? He thought he could. He thought he could. He thought he could. And he developed the boldness to attempt to win a case that had never been won. Had gone through the court system and was at the top. And a little nursery rhyme about a train that thought it could. When they went into deliberation, they couldn't unconsider that. The simple things in life will confound the wise. If you were before the Supreme Court, would you talk about the little train that thought it could? To think as he thought, our mind must be purged, renewed from the old way we walked before submitting to his lordship. There are many people that have been on a church pew for years, but their thinking has never changed. They'll tell you, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just one mistake short of hell. No, I am an eternal being. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not prideful, that's truthful. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Pastor, what does that mean? Your anointed Redeemer presented his body as a living sacrifice. To fulfill his destiny and open the door to your future. Because he was willing to allow his body to be used in any way the Father wanted it, you now have dominion. Don't waste it. Use it. To present my body as a holy sacrifice means I yield not to what I want to do, but to what God wants me to do. I start looking for where I resonate. I start searching for where is God anointing me? What is it that makes my heart sing when I do it? What is it that I feel his pleasure when I'm involved in it? Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you think like a winner. So you see yourself as an overcomer, as triumphant, as able to do all things, as a success. It's a sad thing for me to see a born-again child of God who still thinks they're a failure. You've been anointed with divine wisdom from on high. Please possess it. Please grasp it. Let God rise up in you and do through you what you could never do in your own mind or ability. By the renewing of your mind, so that you prove what the will of God is. Pastor, what does that mean? It's the will of God for me to be healed. I prove it by seizing my health. It's the will of God for me to be wealthy. So I prove it by standing in the scripture that says I am supplied fully. It's his will that I be bold. So I find the scriptures on boldness that reinforces the fact that I ain't no junk And I wasn't created by accident. My destiny did not begin with uh-oh. It don't matter whether your parents said, "You're what?" God had a destiny or you wouldn't be here. I want you to get this and get it strong. God don't waste spirits. Pastor, what do you think about human cloning? Nothing. Because until they know how to create a spirit, they can't clone me. They may be able to clone my cell structure, but that's physical. But they can't clone life, and that more abundantly. You are different, not because you evolved as a higher species of animal. My dog don't have a soul. My cat don't have a soul. Doesn't matter how much you love them, they don't have a soul. Only humans have souls. And every human born, God puts a soul in them that is already pre-configured to success. God didn't go, "Oh, rather successful souls, let's just shove in a couple of make-do souls." No. God formed my spirit man and put it inside this fleshly temple. And one day, that spirit man will escape the confines of this fleshly temple and be in his presence. Pastor, will you have eyes and ears and hands and legs? Of course. Something changed in me when I was reading the Bible and I found out God has eyes. God has a mouth. God has fingers. God weighed the water of the earth in his hand. Well, Pastor, he's got to have some pretty big hands to put all those in there. He didn't have to put the whole ocean in there. All he had to do was put some of it in his hand, and he knew it all. The more you read your new covenant aloud, read it to yourself, the stronger you become. I didn't start out the day I was born again with, "Ta-da! I am now an overcoming victorious believer." I'd grown up in a religion. I thought I got to pay the price. I have to live the life. I have to do everything right to get his pleasure. And then I read where he loved me when I was lost. Wait a minute, if he loved me when I was lost, what does he think of me now that I'm found? He thought of me highly enough to give his son to buy me back from sin's captivity, from Satan's dominion. He loved you that much. What's in you? Waiting to be birthed, waiting to spring forth. Start looking around you. Where do I resonate? Where do I resonate? Well, Pastor, you're talking about like when somebody's preaching or singing. No, you may resonate when somebody's selling a new car and something in you says, You can do that and you won't have to lie to the customer. When I went into car sales for a local dealership, from the day I started, I had top salesmen for 7 months in a row. I didn't say it took me 7 months to get to the number one salesman. My first day, I made a $1,200 commission on a sale because I didn't know you couldn't do that. Some of the salesmen were giving away the cars. I said, that's the price. It took me a while to learn that I could take 15% off of that price if I had to. But every $100 I took off cost me $25. So I liked that price better than making $200 for selling the car. I like making $1,000 or more selling a car. And so I did it. I did a lot of things. I went to work at a plastics factory, and the owner said, how do you know you can do the work? And I said, because you want it done. 3 months, I went from assembly line to plant manager. My first day there, he handed me a broom and said, clean the restroom. I didn't say, homie, don't do that. I cleaned the restroom. He said, you've got a 25-cent raise. You did such a good job. The first week, I got two 25-cent raises. Now, back in 1973, 25-cent raise was like, that's money. But in 3 years, I owned the company. Why? I didn't know you couldn't do that. God said to Adam, who told you that? That's not what I told you about you. I never told you you were naked. I never told you you had reason to be ashamed or afraid. Pastor Jim, I just can't seem to do anything right. Who told you that? Maybe you're just trying to do the wrong thing. Now, sometimes you have to take any available job there is. I went from top salesman at a car dealership to cleaning the restroom at a plastics factory in 1 week. Because the dealership thought they could start stealing money from me. We can take a few $100 out of his check and he'll never notice it. I notice that's my money. I keep track of every sale. I know exactly what's coming to me. And I told him, I said, you do this again and I'll walk off the floor. They did it again and I walked off the floor. I went from making thousands to $90 a week. But $90 a week didn't matter because I knew I wasn't going to stay there. And by the end of the first week, I was already moving up. I was making $1 an hour, 50 cents an hour more because I got two 25-cent raises the first week. And they never stopped. Well, Pastor, that was you. No, 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 no. That's you. There isn't a place where you can't bloom. There isn't a place where you cannot be successful. But how do you see you? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. So do that job that you've got now and do it with excellence. But start looking for, where do I resonate? What's been inside me and how do I work it out? The Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't do it pridefully. With fear and trembling, I go, God, what is it you've called me to do? Then I can do it. I can be a success at it. I can have it. The mind, the soul's realm, is made new as we apply new covenant truth to wash away the old habits and thought patterns. The more you study the Word of God, the stronger you become. The better you see yourself, the more victorious you know you can be. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. The Word of God divides my soul that thinks the old way from my spirit that thinks the new way, so that I can go with my spirit and overcome my mind. The greatest challenge in your life is, how do you see you? Well, Pastor Jim, I'm a nobody. Then it's hard to succeed when you believe you're a nobody. Tell your mind to shut up and let your spirit tell you, you're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You're more than an overcomer. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. The divine ability I'm infused with is, it is written in the New Covenant. What it says I have, I have. What it says I can do, I can do. And I can do all things. Pastor, how do you know you can? Because the Word of God told me I could. Or it might take me a minute to catch up with the learning curve. But wherever I am, I went to Honduras on a medical missions trip. We took a team of doctors and nurses down. And they said, you'll have to eat what we brought with us because you can't get stuff on the local market. Within a couple of days, I'd found a bakery that would bake fresh bread for me every day. I found an ice cream place that was selling the 5-gallon containers to the ships that were docking. They would sell it to me. So all of a sudden, we've got ice cream, 5 gallons at a time. We've got fresh bread made every day. They said, you just have to deal with the heat. I had a fan in my cabana and 3 fans in the operating room before the end of the week. Why? I didn't listen to me when they told me I couldn't. By the end of the first week, I had been loaned a car and was driving around Honduras. And somebody said to me, you can stay at my resort. Free of charge. You can drive my car. I ain't going to suffer for Jesus no matter where I am. He suffered for me. Now I know sometimes in comic I say, I'm just suffering for Jesus. But don't you believe it. I don't suffer. I rule and reign in this life. God has called you to rule and reign. Rise up, spirit man. Rise up, spirit man. Possess your potential. Follow what you resonate. And watch God bountifully abound towards you. Or stay stuck in a dead-end job for the rest of your life. It's up to you. Do you believe you're better than where you are right now? No matter how successful you are right now, Do you believe you're better than that? Then you can be and have better than that. It takes spiritual knowledge to possess what has occurred in our inner man. God's not going to do these things in me. They were done the day I was born again. He dropped success in me. He dropped destiny in me. He dropped purpose in me. All I got to do is work it out. Church, all you got to do is work it out. Success lives in you. Dominion lives in you. Divine ability lives in you. Why? You were born of God. I wasn't saved. I was born of God. Read your new covenant. Meditate your new covenant. Let the words of our Lord change your thought life, and you'll change your living. Are you getting anything out of this church? Attached to the page of notes I just gave you is a portion of a book by Watchman Lee, or Witness Lee. Witness Lee was a student of Watchman Lee. It'll tell you some things about what washing the mind will do for you. We're not going to read it together. Take it home. Read it. Resonate with it. Identify with it. The washing of the word is what cleanses me from failure and ensures my success. It's not all about church. It's about the divine new creation. And as a divine new creation, you can rule and reign in the earth, or you can just get by. What a shame to arrive at heaven and realize I could have been a success instead of praying, God, come quickly before it all falls apart. It ain't falling apart. America is about to experience the greatest resurgence of life it's ever known. Well, Pastor, are you talking about the revival of 1903 or the one of 1910? No, I'm talking about the revival of your future, where people of godly purpose begin to exercise their dominion and change our nation, passing laws will never change our nation. Possessing spiritual truth will. You have a divine destiny. You have a divine purpose. You have divine ability living in you. Work it out, church. I want to see every one of you so successful your relatives don't even want to come to Thanksgiving dinner. As a young believer, I began to possess my identity. And when I would go to family reunion, I'd pull up in my Cadillac Fleetwood, and my brother-in-law would say, well, I've got a Volkswagen, that's just plenty. What kind of gas mileage do you get with that gas guzzler? I was getting better mileage with my Fleetwood than he was with his Volkswagen, because he put automatic and air on it, and that little four banger just couldn't handle that. So I'm cruising along with 472 cubic inches of go get it, and he's got 40 horsepower and can barely make it up a hill. But it didn't bother me that they were jealous. There was a time I wouldn't tell them what I paid for that shirt, what I paid for that house. I don't give a flip. I can live in a rental apartment, or I can live in a multi-million dollar mansion. It's up to how much I'm willing to stretch myself. Because all things are possible when you believe all things are possible. Daddy, we've given your word this day. We've celebrated your triumphant resurrection. Now, Father, come alive in us as never before. Open our eyes to see who we are, where we are, and where we're going. Let your knowledge fill us with exuberant hope and divine expectation. Father God, we ask for you to strengthen our hands, to lay hold of our destiny, and to walk into it with joy and excitement, knowing you've already overcome for us. All we need to do is possess the victory that already belongs to us. Father, I speak your anointing to every person under the sound of my voice. I speak your victory and your success, your triumphant ability. And I decree we will never be the same as we are right now because we're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Your grace empowers us to possess your identity. And the people said, love somebody, help clear out the classrooms, go with God.